Liverpool played Man United yesterday in the FA Cup, were defeated 3-2. Joining me to have a chat about the game is the sons of the famous fathers, Paul Moran, Stephen Evans, Paul Dalglish. Welcome, guys. Just before we go on, don't forget to like and subscribe the video for future reference. Okay, guys, let's get straight into it. The team lineup, looking at it, there was no Matip. Williams had come in, no Henderson. Paul Moran, what were your thoughts after the team was announced?
More worried about the future for Matip, to be honest. I mean, what did they say was wrong with him yesterday? Why didn't he play? Did he give a reason?
He can't play twice in a week, can he? We can't play two games in a week.
Because you must want him to play Thursday then, presumably, against Tottenham. I thought it was a strong enough team. United had a decent team out as well, and it turned out to be a decent game. You know, two decent teams playing. I said decent a lot then, but it was a good game. I quite enjoyed the game again, apart from the result, obviously.
Evo, looking at the United team, they went strong, basically. They brought Cavani and Greenwood in. Were you particularly fearful at all of that front line that they've got?
More so when Reece Williams was playing. I mean, this is no slight on the lad. I thought, you know, he made a couple of mistakes, but I thought he was left, you know, woefully sort of isolated a lot of times by his own players as well. He didn't give much of a help at times, you know, but it was no coincidence that Rashford didn't even bother tracking back. He just stayed in that right channel and was just told to stick on him, really. So, you know, United have got some good pacey players. Greenwood's quick, Rashford's quick. Cavani gets about well as well. He's an experienced player. So, you know, they're always going to cause you problems, aren't they? Especially the way we play. And if they do catches on the break, which came from their first goal, really, we had control of the ball. We were doing some good stuff in and around there earlier and going into the game more and more. And then we give it away just on the edge of their box from there, and then they break and score. So, I think Klopp would have been more disappointed that Henderson wasn't fit, really, because I think he would have played centre half again with Fabinho, and I think he reads the game a lot better and probably would have, you know, controlled the space in front of him and the players in front of him a bit more if he'd been playing. You know, obviously Reece didn't have the best of nights, and you know, I won't hold that against him. He's a young lad playing in a big game. It's not his fault, really. He was asked to step in and do a job, and he did the best he could. But yeah, as I said, Henderson was a big blow not playing because he would have stepped in the centre half, I think.
Paul, I think we're all feeling pretty down. So let's try and look at some of the positives. So in the first half, we scored a great goal.
I think that is the positive, isn't it? We get a couple of goals, and hopefully that gets the front guys firing again. For me, look, if this wasn't Man United we were playing against, and put things into perspective, if this wasn't Man United with the injuries we've got, we'd be thinking we can do with as few games as possible. You know, we've got the Champions League, we've got the FA Cup isn't what it used to be. I know everyone tries to say the beauty of the Cup and the magic of the Cup. Let's be honest. Now it's become nowhere near as important as what it was. If we weren't playing Man United, there'd have been every single fan would have been saying, play the kids, wrap them in cotton wool. But because it's Man United, we've had to go out and play players that maybe we didn't want to play. So for me, the positive from the game is, you know, look at the big picture. You take away emotion, you take away that it's Man United. None of us really want to be in the FA Cup, if we're honest. If we had to choose between getting our league form back to where it needs to be, and getting a run in the Champions League, it's not even close. We don't have enough players to compete on all fronts at the moment, especially if we're not going to bring another centre-back in. So for me, it was you know, pleasing to see a goal, disappointing to lose to United. You know, there's only United and Everton that you're drawing a cup tie and you want to put out your strongest team, really. But for me, I'm just glad to be out of it. Now it's over, but it didn't feel like that at the time when I was watching it.
It's funny you should say that, because normal seasons I would have agreed with you, but I don't know what you boys, Paul Moran, I don't know whether you agree with me, but does the FA Cup this season feel a bit different to you? Because it has to me. It's felt like something that I was actually interested in.
I think you'd say the lockdowns had a lot to do with that as well, because of the coverage it's had.
Yeah.
But I agree with Paul entirely there. I was just thinking to myself then, saying about not being interested in the FA Cup. I know Arsenal won it last year. because obviously they got knocked out on Friday against Southampton or whatever it was. Who did they beat in the final last year? I'm not even sure who they beat in the final. And who won the FA Cup in 2017? If you ask me who won in 1972 or 73, I could tell you all that. But the last 10 years, it's not because we've not been in it. I genuinely don't know who's won it. You just say Arsenal as a guess because they've won it four times in the last like 10 years. So I can't even think who Arsenal beat last year in the final.
Do you know what's interesting, Paul? I think that I've become less interested in the Cup as we become better in the last two or three years, you know, because you've got to prioritise. You can't win everything every year. And for me, you know, I've always, you know, for the last however many years, just wanted to win the league. And for me, we won it last year. This team's been unbelievable for 2 years, consistency, you know, mentality monsters. And look, when you look at the big picture, I know people are starting to pick up on it now, but I genuinely think that we draw power from the fans in the stadium. You know, the manager draws power from the fans in the stadium. You know, we've always had that special bond. I was speaking to someone this morning, my mate, who's actually a QPR fan. And he was saying, look, you go to play at Anfield and you're 1-0 down when you hear You Never Walk Alone come on at the beginning of the game and the fans are into it before it even starts. Think back last year to when we were playing or even the year before when we were doing, you know, flares outside the stadium, welcoming the team, you know, intimidating the opposition. The minute the game kicked off, the fans, you know, were making it an impossible place for people to play for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't underestimate that. You know, the players are humans, and that environment makes it, you know, it draws energy and it takes energy from the opposition. I think we've been affected more. People talk about Van Dijk and signing a centre back. We've been bang average since no fans were allowed in the stadium. We're bang average at the end of last season, and we've been bang average at times this season.
Is that something you agree with, Evo?
100%, and especially, I mean, the fact that we actually won the title and the players haven't had their moments with the fans, the 30 years of wait, the build-up to it all, the finally looking like we were going to win it just before, and then we, obviously things go into lockdown, and, you know, these fans should be getting it all onto the pitch every week, bring on the champions, you know, the 55,000 in Anfield and the away ends and stuff. And, you know, the players haven't had that moment that often. You know, as Paul said, the intensity we've played after the last 2 or 3 years has been unbelievable. There's no way you can maintain that. It's just impossible to human beings. And especially, I think, you know, the fact that they haven't had the parade with the fans, and, you know, obviously the trophy presentation was done in an empty stadium. They just haven't had that moment with the fans, and I think the players must find it so hard to, you know, the manager as well. The manager looks like he needs it as well. I think he looks like he's.
I agree.
He looks like he needs that moment with the fans, and he feeds off them in the ground so much as well. And when you see him there, you know, all the fans of other teams might say, "Oh, you've been talking shit and all that." But I honestly think it is a massive, massive factor this season. The fact that you've asked the players to play at such a high intense level for so long, and basically they haven't got the big reward in front of the fans, which at the end of the day is who they do it for. You know, where the fans are, or who they go to the well for, and every time they play like they do every season for the past 3 years, if they've been unbelievable, it's had a massive effect, I think.
Yeah, I think to go on from you, I mean, it's, you think about it as players, it's, you know, these are elite athletes, you know, and the difference between winning and losing at this level sometimes is small. I mean, it can be a decision by the, you know, the goalkeeper gives away a penalty at the end of the game against Burnley. You go even the first goal the other night. Curtis Jones starts tracking back and stops, you know, slows down, and then Andy Robbo tries to catch him and doesn't get there, you know, in the end. But it's those things, you know, that little bit of motivation. You know, everyone wants to feel valued. The manager wants to feel valued. The players want to feel valued. And when you're playing games at the moment, it's been great just to have a release from the what's going on in society at the moment with the pandemic. But it's, you know, that it's like a pre-season friendly, isn't it? And that's why we're seeing throughout the world really weird results. Even Dortmund in Germany, you know, you look at Bayern, the way they've started the year. You look and you go, another team that feeds from the fans, Celtic up in Scotland, you know, they're not performing at the same level. I think it's genuinely a thing. I don't think we're, and I think the teams that can deal with it the best are the team that are going to be successful in this weird year.
Paul alluded to something there, maybe even Evo did. Do you detect that Jurgen Klopp's demeanour has changed a little bit in the last few weeks? No, I don't mean in the stadium. I'm more talking about the way he's dealing with the press.
Yeah, I think it has. He seems to be sniping a bit more, whether that's what the others think, I don't know. But he just seems to, if you like, be on edge a little bit. He doesn't seem, and then having won it last year, you think you could be more relaxed going into it this year. So you don't know what's going on behind the scenes at the club either. You know, I'm talking on the big picture type of thing of, with the owners and with him. You know, obviously he said this thing now, as he said now, that he wants to buy a centre-half, but they won't bring one in. That's what how it's being reported in that simplistic terms.
Which is the first time he's ever said anything remotely.
You know, he's saying, like, I want a centre-half, and then that's deflecting. So the fans then, when you go on to, as we discussed last time on your Twitter and Facebook, so, well, Jürgen wants to bring someone in, but FSG won't. So the picture then swings to FSG and everyone starts getting onto them.
Yeah.
So Klopp doesn't have to say much. Now, I don't know whether how true or what the, obviously, Christ, you don't know what's happening behind the scenes. I mean, I didn't know what was happening behind the scenes when my dad was working there. You know, so you've certainly got no chance. Now, people say to me, what's happening? I don't know. I didn't know what was happening 20 years ago. You know, you didn't come home and tell me what's going on with players behind the scenes and all stuff like that. But whether Klopp's just getting, I don't know, cheesed off's not the right word at all, but he does seem to have been affected, even with Dice the other day. You know, it was half-time then. It wasn't the end of the game when he's having a go. It was half-time when, like, something just happened with Fabinho and Barnes. You don't know what had happened, particularly because he didn't really show it on the telly. I know they had a little kick at each other, but you can't work out why he's choosing to go after Dice and have a go.
He's not on the forward managers, though, to be fair.
Yeah, but it's because the results aren't going well, things start getting highlighted more and stuff like that.
I think he's massively frustrated, but he must be the biggest, hardest thing for Jürgen Klopp at the minute is trying to motivate these players to go to the well again to dig in. And as we said before, the intensity these lads play at, they need that motivation to go out there and doing it. You know, them going out into empty stadiums and just not getting that feed off the fans, and the manager must be finding it hard too. You know, he's getting a bit snappy with the press. We've seen that. He doesn't like doing the press. He's openly said that before anyway. And I just think he's getting a bit fed up of the whole situation, the way the season is and panning out, and obviously the players not performing as well as they should, really.
Oh, you have your season tickets by the benches, right? Near the benches, right? Yeah. So how many times during the last 2 years have you seen Jürgen turn around to the fans and get the fans going?
I've seen him front the fans. He's actually fronted all us lot behind him because we're not reacting the way he wants us to.
So, and that's the thing about you. I think Jürgen's one of those unique managers that knows how to play the people in the stadium as well. And when he thinks the fans need... when he thinks that the players need energy, he'll try and summon it from the fans.
Yeah,
and to be honest with you, as I said to you, I think that's been a huge part. And you're saying that Jürgen's maybe a little bit different. If he turns around to the empty stadium and starts trying to rile up empty seats, he's going to look like a knobhead.
No, I'm not on about that. I'm more on about the way he's dealing with the press. He seems to be very truculent with the media at the moment. Well, I think that's a slight change.
Well, I think that obviously, what do you want? Him to come out and be pink fluffy bubbles when the results haven't gone how we wanted them to go. Mm. I mean, it's normal. It's absolutely normal. And so is, you know, if you look at it, though, what you sometimes do is overanalyze results, right? We've not been great, but we've been a lot better than what the results have been. You know, the amount of chances that we've missed, you know, and the games that we've kind of lost and drawn, we've been a better team in a lot of them. So we've been unlucky as well. And then you tie it all in and then you end up where we are. But the scary thing is, you look at Man City, they looked like they were gone a few months ago. You know, they looked like they hadn't brought it all together. Then they get one or two results, and now they look unbeatable, Man City. You know, they look like what they did, and it only takes one or two results for that to come back.
Of course.
Paul, yeah, look at Chelsea. Chelsea the one as well. Chelsea were getting in the league 2 months ago. Just sacked Lampard today. It seems like every month someone else is going to win the league. So it's just one of them seasons where, as Paul said before, something mad's going to happen. There could be some dark horse that comes and wins it, you know, because you just don't know. It's just madness.
If you're enjoying this video so far, please show your support for the Ken 7 channel by subscribing, clicking the like button, and also clicking the notifications button as well to get future broadcasts. If you could also share the video on your Twitter and Facebook account, that will show YouTube's algorithm that you like our content. Have you heard about Ken 7 merchandise? The link is in the description of this video. We have premium fanwear for fans covering Liverpool, Celtic and Scotland. And it's fanwear for young and old. So we have t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, caps, mugs, you name it, we've got it. Just something else to remember, every purchase that is made on our website, we donate to the Marina Dalgliesh Appeal. So you're helping a great cause as well. So we took a little pause there. Paul got a phone call and he's had to dash off because I don't know whether I can say it, but he's had to dash off. So that's basically all I can say. So I'll carry on with the other two boys. Let's get into the big positive of the game against Man United, Paul. The second half, I thought we played really well. It looked like us again. We knocked it round well. The passing was quicker. The movement was intelligent up front. We got people beyond midfield. What did you think?
Well, I think obviously you come out for the second half, you think we'll just keep it at 1-1 for a bit even. And then obviously there's that second goal he scored, which, I mean, I had a discussion with my son about it during the match, and I thought he was offside, Rashford. But as Stephen said, you got this, that Williams tried to play the ball, but that's after the first pass. So they've changed the rule of offside that often. I used to laugh, like, you know, if a girl understood the offside rule, then she understood football. Yeah. I don't understand it myself now. You laugh about it, and I'm laughing myself. Like, but it's true. As you look now, and you go, was he offside then or not? Because I genuinely thought Rashford was offside when the first pass got made. Then, as Steve said before, off air, if he touches it, is he then onside because he's tried to play the ball? As well, I thought it come from the first pass, but I'm not sure. But, you know, as you say, going back to the question, it's the intensity was there in the second half, which I think hasn't been there, and using the phrase this year, literally in 2021 in the games we played in January. I think the intensity has been lacking, and certainly going forward, they looked better yesterday going forward. And, you know, there's a few people criticised Firmino, and he miscontrolled that ball on the edge of the box when he had a bit of a chance. And then for the next 20 minutes, he was back to how he was 18 months ago. You know, he was running after the ball. He was winning tackles. He was putting his foot in. And then they all seemed to follow on from that. There was a spell yesterday where the intensity was back from last season before the lockdown when the fans were all there. Then they're all chasing after the ball. I mean, the number of times we won the ball back, because even our second goal, they're showing the replay of Milner volleying that one over the bar, which they were criticising him for, which I thought was unlucky. And the next thing, we've got the ball in their box again, because I said to me, missus, I said, how did we get the ball then? Because it was their goal kick. And as it showed it again later on, he tried to play out. The press had got it back and then we'd scored. You know, I didn't think there was too many problems. But as Paul said before, there's been bad results. But like every game, we're one goal away from getting somewhere. We score first against Burnley. Obviously, it's a stupid thing to say. But it's an entirely different game. You know, Firmino missed that chance against them when it comes across and he hits it with his right foot. He hits it wide. Another time, that goes in the top corner. Everyone's, you know, and goals change games, as they say. I know it's an old phrase, but they just need that little bit of luck in these games. And then yesterday, you know, the second goal might have been, I thought it was offside, but it never even got checked by VAR. And then the third goal, you'd want it to be a foul for your team, but then he moved the ball. He moved the ball from where the ref put it. The ref moved it back to where it originally was, and then he moved it back again. while the ref was standing there, and the ref just let him move it the second time. He went about 4 or 5 foot backwards, because you'd hear the commentators saying it's very close to the edge of the box, it's difficult to score from here. And he moved it back. Mm. The ref moved it once and then left it the second time. But you can always find problems with refs and decisions and that. You know, as he hits the free kick, Thiago gets out the way in effect. He does, you know, you not knowingly getting out the way, but he in effect ducks underneath it. And it goes in on the goalie side, who's took a little step. You know, Steve played in goal. He'll have seen it. He took a little step to his right as Fernandez hit it. And then he's got no chance of getting back then once he's just done that. He did just a little slight movement to his right. It wasn't much, but he just made that little weight shift onto his right foot. Then it comes flashing back onto his left. And he can't, I mean, if you look at where it went in, it was perfectly placed. But there was a lot of things, because you're even saying the wall wasn't set right on the telly, because the wall was too far over to the goalkeeper's right, if you like. And I think he was worried about it getting dinked over to that side. But judging from the performance, I don't think there's much wrong. Hopefully, you're even looking forward to Thursday in a way, because up to a point, it can't get any worse results-wise than it has been in the league lately. So just go out there Thursday and have a go at them, basically. I'd love to see that.
Evo, just picking up on something Paul's just said about Firmino, he had a 20-minute spell where he looked like Firmino. Is it any coincidence that that was the 20 minutes that we looked like Liverpool?
No, you know, we all know how integral he is to the way we play. But, you know, when he's on form, like we know he can be, you know, that's the reason why we won the league by 30 odd points in the last season. He's, you know, the season before when we win the, when we come so close, he's fantastic. And, you know, it's no coincidence to see all these pundits raving about him, saying, you know, some people question his goals numbers. Other, you know, the players, the people who know the game, who play the game, realise how valuable he is to this team. He'll be the first to admit he's not been great this past few weeks, but he's not the only one, really, you know. But when someone so important to the team isn't playing well, then when he's like that, then obviously you're going to suffer. I think the same goes for Trent as well. Trent's been suffering all season, not being great, and then, you know, that affects the knock-on effect for that for Salah, because he's playing down that side as well. But, you know, as I said, the positives, there's loads of positives to take from yesterday. I thought, you know, when we went 2-1 down, I thought it would have been easy for us to drop our heads, but we show good character, getting our shit together and getting back forward and getting the equaliser. And it's just a shame we couldn't get another one, because I thought that half an hour spell was really good from us. And I'd just like to give a mention to James Milner, because I thought he was our best player, yeah. and massively influential on that pitch. Yes, just what we needed, someone to drive us forward, someone to get in everyone's ear, to get the refs ear. He put a few tackles in as well, which is nice to see, because I think that's been lacking recently as well. And our chat, we said there was a couple of 50-50s against Burnley that we kind of shit out a little bit, and you know, that's not acceptable for me. I don't like that at all.
Dangling foot, they're like dangling it after them.
I like that. Yeah, that's another one. When the ground's falling, he's getting absolutely pelters for that. But definitely take the positives from yesterday. And I agree with Paul. I think the keeper will probably want to do better for both the second and the third goal. I mean, I think when he gets a hand to Rashford, so I think he'll want to save it. And I think, looking back, and just that little bounce on his right foot before the free kick's taken, Thiago does him no favours by ducking out the way. I think with it being that side, you want to save that as well. But going to Thursday, loads of positives to take, and you know, let's hope we can push on.
Just something I'd notice, you being a goalkeeper, Evo,
long time ago, like
something we used to flip between the two. I seem to remember at the Ian St John camp, you'd sometimes play out, but. Something I noticed about Alisson, that something that I thought on a one-on-one situation, what he'll quite often do is he'll come out, stop, and then come out again. So he'll come out, they think he set himself, and then he goes again. He didn't do that yesterday. Rashford took it early, didn't he?
He did.
Greenwood did the first one.
Yeah. I just think that, I just thought he could have gone a couple of yards, Alisson. I just think when you look back, as I said, I think he's a fantastic goalkeeper. Yeah. I think you really think he's one of the best in the world, and he makes the very hard things look simple at times. But I think he will look back at that yesterday and just go, you know what, I got a hand to that. I probably should have got down maybe a little bit quicker, narrowed it down a bit more, and just pushed it wide to the post. The second one especially, I think, with the free kick, with it being that side. But you know, even the best make little mistakes now and again, don't they? I certainly did anyway.
I love it. Paul, just before we leave the Man United game, I think a notable mention for me was, I thought Curtis Jones had a good game. What did you think?
Yeah, he seemed a lot livelier than he has in a couple of the previous occasions he's played. But the thing is, you know yourself, and Steve knows this, if the team are playing better, then the players like Curtis Jones will play better because everyone's moving around more. So he's got more options when he's on the ball. And there's a couple of times against Burnley, he gets the ball and he's literally trapped with the ball. Yesterday, he's getting the ball and there's two or three options to give it. Mm. You know, Firmino's coming short, getting it off him and they're all pinging it round. It was, again, it's one of them things, you know, people watching this, there won't be any Man United fans watching it, like, but, you know, you'd say it was a good performance apart from the results, but in an FA Cup tie, the results are all that matters. Mm. You know, when a league game, it does as well, obviously getting beaten at, but it's, for how we have shaped over the last four or five games, yesterday was a big improvement. But moving on to Spurs on Thursday, we've got to carry it on. And the likes of Joe, but even then you say that, I think Reece Williams was just exposed yesterday. And he was exposed because how much forward, Trent goes forward all the time. I don't think, again, Salah doesn't get much criticism from the fans, but he doesn't help Trent that much on the defensive side of it. And then yesterday, you need to. Reece Williams is all right there yesterday with an experienced centre half, which Fabinho isn't. Now he's doing his work and now he's doing everything he needs to be. But even on the first goal, because I was talking about this with the lad, I met one of the lads today when I was out, and he said their first goal, the long ball that got played from left to right, it's Milner who's trying to head it. There's no sign of either centre back or Robbo. No, no, Robbo's chasing after it, but for the three of them not to be there,
yeah,
they say, well, one of them, if that had gone over, obviously, we might have made it worse for Reece Williams, if it had gone over his head, he would have been, you know, criticised for not heading it. But it's Milner who's there, and yeah, there's no sign of three of the four defenders.
Yeah.
And, you know, all right, we're on the attack and that, it's 1-0 early on in the game, so it doesn't need to be. It was like that one, I mean, the worst goal I ever seen us let in, from a personal point of view, was when Arsenal equalised in the Champions League quarter-final when we were winning 2-1 with 6 minutes to go. And we got caught on a breakaway from our own corner. Yeah. And Walcott passed it into Adebayor and scored. Mm. And we're attacking. We got six, seven, eight men out of position when we're 2-1 up with 5 or 6 minutes to go. And that yesterday, it was a little bit similar to that in as much as there was no reason for everyone to be out of position at that stage of the game. No, I don't really
I think this is what where you see where we're losing what Fabinho brings to that midfield when he's not playing there, because as good as Thiago is on the ball, he's not a six. He's not as effective playing deep. He's not going to be, you know, he does try and snap at the tackles, but he's not the quickest cover in the ground. He's
more of an interceptor than a
definitely
tackler,
picking up the bits. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if you've got a Fabinho next to him, who get his foot in and who makes the tackles, that's getting Thiago picks up the loose bits and then starts passing it around. That's where you see us being a lot more solid, a lot more, and that's what we're missing with Fabinho playing centre half and not playing in midfield. And don't go wrong, he's doing a fantastic job centre half, but I'd much rather see him in midfield because he's one of the best DMs in the world.
Well, you can imagine us having Van Dijk and Gomez back there with Fabinho, Thiago, and Henderson midfield.
Well, that's the dream, yeah. That's the team that started the derby, wasn't it? Remember, I was like, oh my God, look, this team were fantastic in that first half.
People shouldn't be losing their shit now about it.
Yeah, totally. Paul, I was laughing listening to you there. A psychologist would have a field day with you, mate, because I asked you about something really positive, Curtis Jones, and you ended up talking about the goals again.
Talking about a goal from 13 years ago that's still annoying me now. I just don't remember how annoyed they got, and then we got that penalty straight away afterwards, and then everyone sitting around us was looking at us saying, hey, you shut up now about that goal.
Yeah. I can imagine you losing your shit, and I've seen you lose your shit so many times in football matches, so I can only imagine. I think Curtis Jones
Played very well.
I just want to see him be a bit brave with the ball. That goes for a few others as well. Sometimes people take the easy option of just another sideways pass, when I think, like Gino Ronaldo was another one yesterday, I just thought he could have been a bit brave with the ball. I think sometimes when he gets it, he just takes the easy option a little bit, Ginny. And he's been like that the last few weeks. And
yeah, he has.
Yeah, you can see he's all things on his mind. Maybe with Ginny, I think. You know, he's great in big games when it's high intensity and he's got to put his foot in, he's got to close down and press. He's brilliant at that. But when he's got time on the ball, I just wish he was a bit braver and a bit more.
Well, we did that thing again at the end when it was 3 minutes to go. We're fanning around,
yeah,
playing 10-yard passes to each other in our half, and then it ends up with someone losing it at the back. Mm-hmm. You know, every other team, you're 2-1 down, 3-2 down near the end. Every other team lumps it into the box and sees what happens.
Yeah.
With us, with fanning around with it. And you know, we think as someone's saying, there's 4 minutes to go. You know, there's 4 minutes. And we'll
just get in the box,
Well, even that, Origi got injured right on the 90 minute mark on the telly. And he didn't get treatment, but he was down for about 20 seconds. The ref stopped play and the referee started the game again because I rewound this and looked at this. At 90 minutes, 28 seconds. And then he blew the final whistle right on the 4 minutes. But the first 30 seconds of the 4 minutes, Origi was sitting on the floor, deciding whether to be treated or not. So how's it still four minutes?
Yeah, totally.
Obviously, that in European football, they always like put 4 minutes on the board, you make three subs, and then don't add any time off.
It's still 4 minutes.
You always do that, yeah?
Listen, let's leave the Man United game. I think we started feeling a bit more positive that we play Spurs on Thursday, is it? Wednesday?
Yeah, Thursday.
Obviously, we're going to be playing a Mourinho team. They're playing at home, so that changes it. You would think they're going to have to come at us, which will suit us. Or don't you think, Ev? Or you tell me what you think, Ev.
Mourinho's done well this season because he's got no fans in the ground. And this is one of the teams he's benefited because he can dog it out as much as he wants. Spurs fans love... I mean, I've got a bit of a soft spot for Spurs. I mean, I had a great time in Madrid with their fans last season. They were great. But they like to play football. They like to play attacking football. And to the detriment, sometimes they can overplay. Mourinho this season has been able to dog it out as much as he wants, play really ugly Mourinho-style football and get some results. And he's only been able to, if the ground was full with him, with how many of 60-odd thousand was that in that new shiny new stadium. A lot of Spurs fans would have been on his back, but you know, he's been able to do that as much as he wants. It'll be no difference on Thursday. He'll set them up hard to beat, physical. You know, they've added Holberg into that midfield with Sissoko and
made a big difference.
Made a big difference, yeah, because we do, you know, the likes of Harry Winks and stuff in there, do a bit of a soft touch in midfield, but it'll be no different Thursday. They'll set themselves up, they set themselves a little bit deeper and they'll just try and catch us on the break with Son and Kane and the others flying down the wing. So, yeah, it'll be a typical Mourinho setup for me. I think I won't expect him to start setting up like attacking football, like he change his way, because he's been getting some decent results, although they've been patchy recently. So, should be a good game. I just hope we can go there and get something.
They look like they've just come through their bad patch. They had a bad patch as bad as the one we're having at the moment, and they now seem to be playing well. Have you seen much of them? Have you seen them play at all recently?
Well, luckily enough, I've seen them when we played them at Anfield. I was lucky enough to get a ticket for that, be one of the 2,000 there. And as Steve just said there, I don't think they'll set up any different from they did in the away game at our place. And then they caught us on the break there and scored. I mean, they caught us a couple of times. They could have won that game, you know, where Harry Kane missed a couple of chances. And then we got the last minute winner with
it. On the night, though, to be fair. We played
Harry Kane did.
Football.
But Spurs played. Did you say Spurs then? Yeah,
no,
Spurs.
No, I thought we played well on the night, actually.
Oh yeah, against Tottenham.
Played some fantastic football. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but that was it was a great game. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was a really good game. So you're sitting there with 2,000 people, and it's it was quite good. I know Steve managed to. You get the West Brom game. I know it wasn't the best result, but
different.
It was different with them 2,000 there. It was even different with that. You've seen Fabinho at the end. Firmino, going to the crowd and thanking the crowd after the winner, because you are getting behind them. There's only 2,000 there, but you can still hear it. And it's that thing about the crowd and that. But I think like we said to you the time I was on, if we play to the best of our ability, the 11 we put out, we shouldn't get beat. And we certainly should get a point at least on Thursday. And we should really beat the team Tottenham put out. So if you look at it man for man, our players are better, but it's whether they're attackers and who he plays in defence. Now, you've talked before whether Matip plays because he didn't play yesterday because there's two games in the week thing, or whether he's injured again. But you really, really need him there. But is Henderson going to be able to fend off Harry Kane for 90 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I hope
Henderson's the one for me. We really need Henderson to be fit, just so we can play in that six role for me. I want Thiago a bit further forward. You know, because obviously I think Matip will definitely play. He said there's no more injury worries. It's just the fact that he didn't want to rush him back after quite a serious injury because he's made the quavers. So make sure Henderson's in there so we can sit him in that six and get Thiago a bit further forward. There'll probably be Ginny in there, won't it, as well? Like, and I imagine the front three will remain the same. But I said I fancy just have loads of, like, it'll be like the Anfield game. We'll have loads of the ball. We'll have to be patient, just keep moving it. And then just protect. The biggest thing is take our chances. I mean, Christ, we'd be creating that many chances. If we start taking them, then we're going to start flying again. So that's what we can do. But that
I said to that lad I seen this morning, Chris, I said to him, Liverpool have actually turned into one of the crappy Sunday league teams I played for in the late 80s and early 90s, where we're in more trouble when we've actually got the ball. Because when we're defending, everyone's defending and they're all looking. But when we've got the ball, we're more likely to get caught then, because a few of them knock off when we've got the ball. And I used to, when I was in goal myself playing, you can see our defenders looking over at the field and counting how many sheep there are and cows and that in the next field, because we've got the ball. And the team have got the ball, suddenly we're under pressure. So I just think it's a question of them. Again, it was what I just said. If they play to their capabilities, you know, we certainly won't get beat by Tottenham, and we should beat them. But first goal is always important in games like this as well. Because as Steve says, if Tottenham get it, they'll just go right back onto the edge of their own box, you know, just even a six and a four type of thing. Not, and it won't be that obvious, it won't be all the time, but they'll go, if they go one up, the whole pattern of the game will change to then going to a much more defensive setup. Because we don't seem to do that when we score. We just carry on playing the same.
It could be a tough night, couldn't it? Before I let you go, boys, Paul, you said something before, and we were chatting sort of off air, weren't we, Evo, about your dad's not telling you anything at all. People who are watching this would have assumed that you, being the sons of former managers of Liverpool, would have been party to all sorts of inside information, and apparently that's not the case, Evo, no?
Not so much. I mean, when my dad was manager, he told me about the Teddy Sheringham deal was very, very close. I mean, it was agreed pretty much. Wages were agreed, fee was agreed. And then at the last minute, you know, even my dad was pretty excited about that one because, you know, he's always been a good cracking player. And, you know, someone I thought would have been great for us. When he told us, I was made up, and he said, it looks like it's going to get done. And then the club pulled the plug at the last minute, said there was no value in it. He was too old. And he went to Man United and won the treble. So he told me about that one. And he told me that, you know, there was a couple of others, like little bits about trying to sign Desai and a couple of others. But never told me too much. I always remember the one that sticks in my mind actually is when the day Paul's dad left after the Merseyside derby, he come back and told us the night after the game, and I didn't believe him. I didn't want to, but no one believed me when I told him in school anyway. It was like, "Hard, you're like, no, it's not happening that." But yeah, we never got told much. You know, they were very, very secretive about what they told, like, especially tactics wise and teams wise and stuff. Never really got much information.
Well, as you remember, I said to my dad once, we had this thing, Steve's watching the games by us at that time in the main stand. We'd never scored off corners or free kicks. We scored lots of goals in general play, but actual free kicks and corners and that. And I said to my dad, why don't we score off free kicks and corners? I said, don't you ever bother that, you know, don't you practice them or do routines and that? And he says, well, we do. But he says, when the match starts, the other team won't stand where we want them to. So that's why we never used to score, and they never bothered doing them anyway a lot of the time. The only one my dad talk about finding secrets out, the night when Russia had gone to Juventus, the night before he come back, my dad told me at 11:30 at night, I was living at home, he said to me, Russia's coming back tomorrow to sign, but he told me that late. There were no mobiles or not then, so there's no one to tell. So I had to just sit there like, oh my God, I got to work 8:00 the next morning, and the news was already been out on the radio. So I did know, I was like 8 hours before everyone else, that Rushie was coming back, but there was no benefit to it for us because I couldn't tell anyone because he left it that late to tell us.
There was no social media then, was it? So even if I got told anything, you know, I'd only tell a couple of mates, but there was no, you know, there's no Twitter or Facebook back then. Showing our age now, Paul. Like, but
on the Rushie thing, I seem to remember Kenny telling my dad back at the back at that time, that the choice was between signing Paul Gascoigne for 2.8 million or signing Rushy back. And that was the dilemma he had. And he obviously went for Rushy.
Yeah, there was loads of rumours at the time because the Gaz was I think it was rumours about Alex Shearer at one point as well. There was a little whispers, but I'm not sure how much truth in them. Because wasn't Gaz on the bus once for the FA Cup or something? Then he ended up going on the bus with them to the FA Cup final or something. I'm sure I got some of that story somewhere.
When you said Alan Shearer, then he used to sit by us at the match at Anfield. Mm. When he was at Blackburn, the Blackburn weren't playing, Alan Shearer was always at Anfield in the main stand. It's not far from where we were. He always used to be sitting there because that's when he said he was interested in coming. I think he'd have come if we'd have got the right bidding. But
before we went to Blackburn or before he went to Newcastle?
No, he was at Blackburn.
He was heavily linked with Man U at that time, wasn't he?
Yeah, he used to sleep. I don't know who got the tickets from, but he was in and around the comps all the time.
Interesting.
He used to sit by us.
Interesting. Right, well, listen, boys, thank you very much again. I've enjoyed it. Anyone who's worried about Paul's fine. Paul's family's fine. He just had to go and he couldn't, and we understood. So don't worry about him. But listen, thanks very much for listening. If you are watching on YouTube, give us a little subscribe and like the video. And thanks very much, boys. We'll see you again. Thank you.
Cheers, Gav. Cheers, Steve. Take care, mate.